was there. I mean, it's like they just, I don't know. I mean, it's like the DBs didn't want to play, just gave up. Like you said, I know they're up bump and running. I understand that. But, I mean, you got to tell me that at least you don't have to run with them step by step. I mean, at least if you hit pocket, makes it harder for the quarterback. But like you said, well, I'll give credit to Bowling Green's quarterback. He made some good throws, but that's my only complaint. So I'm glad it got in. I've been trying for a while. We've been listening down here in Lee County for a while. And, you know, that's, I know you've been preaching on DBs. I hate to call in and make the same thing. But like you said, I mean, just that's my only complaint, really. You know, I just.
No, I think you make a good point. And I'll tell you one thing about Dino Babers and those guys offensively. A lot of times, Sean and Dubs, and to our caller there, Sean, when somebody gives you something, a lot of coaches will be too, I don't know what the word is, stubborn, hard-headed, to not take it. And Babers tonight said to Tennessee, okay, you're going to continue to give me that? I'm going to throw that again and again and again. And they continue
exactly.
And you know what? I give the guy credit for that. That's a solid coaching.
I condone him too. Like the thing is, you have a however long lightning delay to adjust defensively. You know, usually use halftime for that. But like we came back the second half after the before the lightning delay, and we just decided to we ain't gonna worry about we're not gonna try to adjust. Just whatever we think we can bump and run step for step with these guys. But apparently we just wanted to half-ass it and let them catch whatever. But
yeah. And maybe that's design. Maybe that's, we know we can beat these guys. We can score anytime we want. I hope and pray that's what it is. I don't know if we're going to find that out next week. I don't know how many opponents we have left on our schedule that can do what Bowling Green did tonight.
Yes. I condone Bowling Green for that. Like I said, but I know next week we've got ready for old Jim Ross coming down there, so we can say, oh, my God, stop the match.
Stop. Jim Ross is going to be in town Thursday night. We're going to have him on the show. Dubsy's going to have him on his program this week. And we'll be catching up with Marcus Dupree this week as well. I'm just so glad Oklahoma's coming to town, and I'm really glad because Tennessee's going to beat them. So I hope you have yourself a great night in Lee County, my good friend, and it's great talking to you.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out for our league to the Maze Master.
76 beers.
76 beers on the wall. Good talking to you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Can we back up for a second, Tony? Sean, did you refer to Derek Mason as radio a couple of moments ago?
15 freshmen and 7 newcomers made their debuts tonight, according to Tennessee's Twitter account. 15 freshmen and 7 other newcomers tonight. And how about the punter? How about the kid tonight going in and having a solid night for himself?
Trevor Daniel, yeah.
Yes.
A little chubby, too. I like chubby punters. It's good.
Get a Joe on him. There's no question.
He made Matt Darlick's felt.
Somebody Sparks pointed out earlier, and I think it's worth pointing out, on the goal line, they had Dobbs under center, too, which is another thing Colquitt's wanted. Man, and they had a fullback out there.
Oh, I was going to say, if they had a true fullback in there, I mean, GQF, he'd have to go change pants.
I like the effort, because the board's showing me we're going to throw some power in this offense. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I think everybody might need to take a breath on the defense here. I think what you saw is you saw an offense that's a lot like Georgia Tech. They're just hard to prepare for. They do what they do very well. And they were hot today. I'm not excusing our DBs. I think there were some misses. Maybe they took advantage of some alignments, but I don't believe another team is going to be able to do what they did. I think it was a tough matchup, and in the end we almost doubled their score. So it's a great game to go back now that you've won and show the film, watch, correct some mistakes, and I believe we'll be a lot better.
I think Mosley can get better at that other corner spot. I'm kind of worried about Malik Foreman at nickelback. That's a problem spot for me going forward.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in at 865-200-5402. It's your smart way. Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. I do want to remind you, I'm with you weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time right here. You can hear Dubsy at KnoxTalkRadio.com from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, gentlemen's mouthpiece.
Hey, brother, welcome.
First thing I want to touch on is really glad that there weren't any injuries. Generally, when you have stupid things happen, to prolong a game like that. When I say stupid things, I mean, obviously, the you know, the way Tennessee let Bowling Green climb back in there, went up 21-3 on those long pass plays, up-tempo offense, and then the rain delay. I'm really happy that there weren't any injuries. So that's first. One thing I'll say, looking at the defense, I did not like hearing Majit was going to be moved back to linebacker. And I think tonight showed a lot. He struggled in space, like y'all said. And it hurt not having him out there on the edge rushing the passer.
Well put. Well, another excellent observation. And I think well put on all fronts by you. You know, a lot of times when you have a delay like that, Goofy things happen,
Tony. Yeah. We've seen it. I mean, we're talking about the University of Tennessee.
No question.
You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's Murphy's Law.
I hate to say this because I'm not trying to be glib about it.
Sure.
But you almost expect after a while that one of our guys gets hit by lightning tonight. I mean, we've seen so much here in the last 10 years. You know, that hour and 20 minute lightning delay, it's just kind of par for the course for the way things have gone around here.
Couple things I'll mention. I've kind of charted fan reactions over the last decade. I call it today Overreaction Saturday, and not just in Knoxville, but all over college football. It seems like when a team doesn't do what everyone expects them to do, you know, sort of in the national media, that everybody's, you know, ready to overreact and throw in the towel. Bottom line is, I really think this is an 8-4 type football team. You know, it definitely has, you know, we had our flaws even with Rashawn Golden and TK and Ladarrell McNeil. And we certainly have our flaws now without those guys. So I think kind of it is what it is. I mean, it's a team that's still building. And I'm not trying to throw excuses out there because I want 8 wins this year. And I think this team should get 8 wins. But, you know, for the people that was just expecting this year to turn into like 2001 where we went out and were dominant, I mean, you know, this is the longest rebuild in college football history for a reason. I mean, it really is baby steps. And I think we're going the right direction.
Look at Penn State. It's not happening overnight there. It didn't happen overnight at most schools. You know, Alabama had already a lot of talent on that roster when Saban got there.
Yeah, Shula left Saban a lot. You're right.
He left him some players. We had, when you take a year and a half off in terms of recruiting offensive linemen, not to mention some of the bonehead skill people we had. No offense to those kids, but a lot of them were just goofy kids that duly recruited. You know, it's this deal here was going to take a while. And here's the thing. The team we saw on the field today, do any of us not believe that we're going to see more of Tuttle, more of McKenzie as the year goes on? And I am not slighting the frontline guys, nor am I slighting Colton Jumper, who's out there trying his best today. But what we saw today is not what we're going to see 7 weeks from now. It's just not.
Well, I think Cinco was dead on a minute ago talking about Colton Jumper. On their fourth down and three where they waited the whole play clock, you know, he takes on a blocker inside. That was his gap. He's supposed to step up. A good middle linebacker is supposed to step up and stuff the guy for about a 1 yard gain, and then the ball's turned over. So that's, you know, where I'm getting at. Tennessee's still not there yet to compete. Now, am I mad that Tennessee never, you know, breaks out and has a breakout season? Yeah, but I've just resigned to the fact that this is a slow rebuild. It's the longest rebuild in college football history. But I really think we need to, you know, enjoy today. I mean, a lot of good offensive production, you know. The receivers had their moments. Hurd and Kamara, I mean, they're legit running backs. I mean, this team has a chance to excite us this year. And I think that's sort of where we need to be.
So fun to watch your skill, guys. Thanks, MP. Hey, great phone call, man. Great hearing from you. MP Trace, ladies and gentlemen. This from the Oklahoma football Twitter account. I read it as we get it. By the way, Alabama, 21-7 now with the lead over Wisconsin. And Alabama with a chance to put the foot on the proverbial throat here and stubbing its toe. Nick Saban not looking real happy over there. Hey, openers are openers. But Oklahoma football, after struggling for pretty much the first half, has now gotten this thing rolling. In fact, their starter, who is the kid that transferred from Texas Tech, Mayfield is his last name, has 388 passing yards early in the fourth quarter, He breaks Sam Bradford's record for the most passing yards in an OU season opener, which was 363, and he's building on that.
He's also pulled an Al Bundy today, 4 touchdowns in a single game.
Whew.
Now, Tennessee's going to, I mean, it's going to be different playing Akron at home and playing Tennessee on the road. He's going to see more a better pass rush. I don't know what Akron's defense is like, but I'm assuming that Tennessee's is much better.
Rocky Topics listening to us says that this guy is a gunslinger. So hopefully he'll throw some balls up next week in that building. That's what you hope. And you hope you can get the secondary. Sean, would you do anything particularly with the secondary? Would you alter anybody? Would you consider shading Sutton or moving Sutton into one of those corners? What would you do?
No, I think they were fine. It just, you're not going to face 5 receivers every week. That's just the bottom line there. I thought they had a great plan. Mosley will bounce back. I mean, those were perfect passes. He was beat, but, it could have easily been an underthrow. Those balls could have been batted away. I'm not excusing his play, but no, I'd go with what they got. I think this was kind of a one-off deal against a pretty darn good offense.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. But you would insert Kirkland next week.
Absolutely.
How about the 2 kids up front? Do they play more?
I thought O'Brien and those guys did fine.
Back to the phones we go. Hello and
hey,
welcome
Tony.
To our next caller. Yes, hello.
I think my call is perfectly put in here because I wanted to talk a little bit about Mosley and his performance tonight. And I appreciate what you've said about the secondary and it being a one-off performance here, because I feel like probably Butch Jones before the game probably pulled him aside and said, look, we want you to be the second guy. We're going to put you on an island. And he got beat the first time. You say, okay, go back out there, show us what you can do. And then he got beat a second time, and then they said, okay, maybe we should adjust the coverage a little bit. But I feel like everything I hear, you know, we've got Sutton out there, and you've got Mosley, he's going to be the next guy. So you give him the chance to prove himself, and this was the perfect opportunity. And he kind of came up a little bit short, but like you said, they were perfectly thrown balls. So I just wanted to hear a little bit about what you thought about that.
Well, I think you make a great point. See, here's what happens as fans. We don't look at the other team and go, those are scholarship athletes. Now, this is a very cliched thing to say because it's what coaches always say. But there's truth to this. That Johnson kid is a special, special talent. He is regarded as one of the better quarterbacks in college football. It is no joke. They have an interior lineman on their football team who's thought to be either a late first, early second day draft choice, Bowling Green does, and an offensive line that had a ton of starts coming into today. They have tremendous skill people, including the running back that got hurt today, who's a nice player, though, who I think Sutton blew him up, ironically enough, on a play, on a tackle for loss that was a key play early in the game. But I'm starting to think, and people are talking me into this as we go along tonight, that maybe Tennessee kept it vanilla defensively, purposefully knowing they could beat this team.
I agree with you.
I'll tell you this. This guy would be the starting quarterback at Alabama right now.
Well, I'd go through the whole league. Where wouldn't he be the starting quarterback?
But Tony, I think it's funny, and you know better than most of us out here, the next week, all you're going to hear about is, oh, my gosh, we've got to find another cornerback. We've got to find somebody to replace Mosley.
You got to overreact.
But,
you got right?
Everybody's absolutely. Absolutely. But in this game, I mean, let's be honest with you. I mean, even as vanilla as we played it, I don't think there was any serious doubt after the lightning delay that we were going to win that game. So I really think it was a chance for Butch Jones to put Mosley out there and say, how are you going to do? Let's put you in some one-on-one coverages, and like you said, there were some perfectly thrown balls. So I think it was a great opportunity for him, and I really am going to cringe when I listen to sports radio next week and hear everybody talk about how much Mosley is a bad corner.
I'll tell you something else, though. You're not going to hear from you. I think we're doing this, and I hope we do, because I hope if the Bowling Green people are listening to us, and there are a couple folks who have reached out on Twitter and said that they're out there listening, because they don't have anything like this, I want to say to them, we tip our cap to your team. You guys played a hell of a game tonight. And offensively, you did what you had to do to stay in that game and stayed with it and stayed with it. And I was also impressed that they were able to run the ball. Now, Tennessee late in that game, we saw what Tennessee did, Sean, when they wanted to put pressure on them, and it was winning time. It's almost like you see in college basketball. You know, in college basketball, they have a saying, we're going to play 30 to win 10. At the last 10 minutes is when I'm going to throw my stuff at you. Tennessee threw some stuff at them late defensively and brought some pressure on that quarterback. So maybe it was vanilla by design and we'll just take our lumps. I don't think they thought, though, in a million years that that team would hit that many big plays on them.
Right. And even on offense, you could see, you know, Dobbs didn't throw that many balls downfield. But when they really needed to play downfield, you saw him drop back and you saw him throw some passes downfield. And granted, they all weren't completions or whatever, but we didn't see it until it was kind of like the board said, all right, let's try this play this time. You know what I mean? Like there weren't very many deep balls, weren't very many plays down the field, but it was almost like, you know, we don't need to do that. So let's not do that until we have to. Would you agree with that?
Cinco, what do you think?
I think so. I think also, you know, we scored enough points, but I think that Pig Howard coming back adds a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's no, I mean, Jennings reminded me of Carl Pickens out there. The way that he's not, I mean,
wow,
he's heavier than Carl Pickens. No, I'm talking about he just looks like
him. He does look like him.
I don't know that he's going to produce like him, but, you know, he's bigger than Carl was as far as thicker, but, you know, he doesn't kill you with the speed. I didn't understand bringing him on the speeds, you know, the jet sweep or whatever you want to call it.
No.
But I think when you have Pig Howard and you have Kamara like there, that's got to be a nightmare for defensive coordinators.
Yeah. And I agree with that, but we didn't really see any passes as a slot receivers, did we?
I was talking
more about the end of rounds or whatever you want to call it.
Right, right. But I mean, like, we didn't even see any plays that would normally be designed for a Pig Howard type player.
Well, you didn't see any screens tonight.
Nothing that I
remember.
Nothing.
I didn't see them get Marquez North in the action.
No,
it was pretty much a quiet night for, you know, anything downfield.
Actually, North didn't catch a ball. Clayton did not
catch
a ball.
We saw a couple to Malone, but you know, I didn't see anything like you said.
And by the way, guys, let's point one thing out about Malone, who I thought had a pretty nice day.
Yeah.
But he's got to catch that ball midfield. When you're playing a game of consequence, again, we're going to go back to this. You're playing a good team, and you leave what could be 6 points on the board there. You have got to catch that ball.
He struggled catching
that
ball.
Isn't that a Jeff Malone special by this point? Is it early enough to or late enough to label that?
He's going to be.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you,
Brody.
Thanks for the call. Thank you.
But in fairness, he went down and got a bad ball earlier.
No question.
He went down, a 6'3 guy that goes and catches a ball at the ground behind him. That was a hell of a catch.
You know, we have a tough crowd, Sean, because somebody on Twitter earlier tonight said Medley was trying to get on the bus, and he missed it.
Well, he had a nightmare for his game.
I mean, are you kidding? that first field goal, and I don't know what happened on it, because I didn't go back and look at it.
That was a Peterman performance right there.
Sean, that first field goal. That looked like something, for those who are old enough, that used to play the electronic football with the felt football. That looked like me trying to kick that felt football back in the day. That's Russell doesn't remember that. When you turn the board on, it looked like our special teams under Dooley or Southside Series defense. That was one of the worst field goal attempts you will ever see. And the last thing you want to see is him go 0-for in that game, which is why I like them coming back and giving him another shot at the end of that game.
Yep.
It was important to get that kick in.
Yep.
You're going to make one. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, it's JJ.
Hey, Jay, welcome.
Hey. You know, I'm happy for all the Vol Cougars out there, including Keith Hatfield.
Yes.
I'd be so happy with his balls and with his BYU Cougars tonight. Pulling the upset.
How about the BYU Cougars on the final play of the game? How about the Nebraska Cornhuskers rushing three men at the end of that, dropping everybody, and allowing a receiver to catch a ball in the end zone? Would somebody please explain how that happens?
Well, that was pure Chavis right there. The
no other question.
Just trying to talk about Chavis. At least under Chavis, the first two downs on defense, we look great. It's third and 15. That's when we start getting worried.
I love the concept, though, of rushing three, and they let that kid set up, and he let that pass go from the 47, and he did everything but pose before he let it go, and he threw a perfect, and I mean perfect ball.
How about the BYU receiver, the guy who didn't catch the ball running over and hugging the ref?
Yes, that was one of the greatest things ever. That was great.
I think, I've never met the Manerville boys, the original Manerville boys. But that caller, the second caller tonight after Barney Boy, he could be the new breed. And if you ever wanted to go down to the Purple Porpoise, I think you would want him by your side, wouldn't you?
I want all those guys up there from Virginia that have made contact with us. I want those guys with me when we start becoming road dogs here. And as we bring this program back, we are going to do a fifth quarter fan reaction on the road. I don't know about this year, Dubs. Yet it's 2 weeks away. I'd have to say the answer to that is no. But when I start believing that we're going to win in Gainesville, when I really start believing, maybe we'll go on the road.
You know, as far as the game goes, they did spread us out. I mean, they had five receivers out there, and they played so quickly that I think it was tough for us to really keep up and try to change our defense around. I was ticked off with our defense because I was thinking that was our strength. We didn't really generate a pass rush. I do agree with you, Tony, that zone would have been nice. We weren't getting pressure with four. That's when you rush three and have an extra guy back there and switch it up on zone. The thing that, a few things that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And this is Butch Jones. When we're up 21-3, we abandon the run for a couple possessions. We go three and out throwing the ball. Do you guys recognize that?
Cinco, do you have an issue with that?
You know, for the past several years under Bajakin, too, we seem to go into a lull there. I mean, I know they don't. No offensive coordinator calls plays that they think are not going to work, but it was a little bit odd. It was definitely a bit odd, and I didn't understand how they didn't have Eli Wolf in the game plan. You know, he got a couple of touchdowns, but yeah, I did notice that.
I love him. I think Wolf's going to be a real nice player. There's no doubt about it. And you're right, Cinco. How do you not have him in there and call his number?
Yeah,
he's
a weapon.
It just really ticked me off that we could have really put our foot on their throat in the first half, and we didn't. We let them come back in, give them hope and life, and that's when they're like, well, what do we got to lose? We're just going to throw deep. I do think that their offensive line, their quarterback, pretty good. And the second thing is we finally, on the kickoff, got
right.
The ball into the end zone. But there were so many that would land at the one. How many times have we had to endure that? How many times did Medley kick it out of bounds on the kickoff? More than once, I think.
I thought all in all, it was a quality special teams game today. And all in all, it was a quality special teams game. I appreciate the call. Thank you, JJ. Good talking to you. .865-200-5402. Kentucky and ULL are deadlocked at 33. Now, I put on Twitter a few minutes ago, does he get a raise tonight if he beats ULL off his $3 million salary?
Be a big win for him.
It would be a huge win for Kentucky to get that game tonight.
I mean, you don't just roll out there against Ooh La La and stroll out with a W.
I mean, are you kidding me? What in the world? As we get ready to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Monday night, 8 o'clock. TCU close with Minnesota. Alabama rolling Wisconsin. Baylor wins big at SMU. Michigan State at Western Michigan. Auburn today impressive with Louisville. Oregon leading on top of Eastern Washington. And speaking of Washington, how about my man Mike Leach up there tonight? That's my main man, Dubsy. You could say that's an embarrassing loss for his program.
Yeah, poor Mike Leach.
Portland State gets the W.
Not swinging the sword hard enough these days.
To the phones we go. But if he ever gets back into broadcasting, he will knock it out. With my man Vern Lundquist today, who, and I quote, when he
what
said...
What did he call it? Trevino?
Trevino.
Who was he referring to?
He was Bobby Trevino is having a long day. No, Vern, you were having
a long
day.
He's in mid-season form, first, right out of the gate.
Oh, Saban's busting a gut! Look at him! Saban is hot! He hadn't been that man since there were two drive-offs in his dad's service station. Look at him! Back to the phones we go. They want every call. Let's go back to our phones.
Can't wait
Saban
to see the
wants every damn call. He wants every damn call, Cinco. Every call.
Entitlement.
Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Am I here?
Yes, sir. You're here and I'm there.
Well, this is the Humble Bee Podcast / DJ Loop calling in.
Well, it's always great to talk to the Humble Bee man. So welcome, my friend. Yeah, great talk to you.
Did I go over right?
You did. You went over right, left, and center. And I welcome you in, man. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, man, I only call and talk about the special teams and the kickoff return game. What do you think about that?
I love seeing guys that can take it, both in the punt return and the kickoff return. And how about tonight, Barry, when he was being encouraged to stay in the end zone, and he said, no, I don't think so.
No, he said, back off and let me
back
run it out.
Off. Step off.
Which is usually not a good idea, but...
No.
Yeah, against that opponent, anything went, you know?
Yeah. Like, how much drastic has the special teams changed since Butch Jones has been here?
Butch Jones, I'll say this for him. They are organized, they look purposeful, and they look like they know what they're doing. And we know more of this having 13 guys on the field, which plagued us at the end of the former years. It plagued us during Lane Kiffin's year. And it sure as hell plagued us during Derek Dooley when he was here. That whole thing with having 12 or 13 guys on the field, or at times 9 or 10 when you're attempting a field goal. Do you guys remember those days? Those were fun.
Yeah, those days
were a regular occurrence under Dooley.
Regular occurrence under Dooley.
Most of the time, it was unreported. People didn't know, but you could go back and find, oh, yeah, they only had 10 guys on the field there.
And people would say to me in my blog, you're being negative. I'm going, negative? That guy's making $150,000 and he can't count to 11? What's so negative about that?
Well, I also want to talk about the defense and stuff, and people were giving the defense a hard rap. And, of course, they were picking on one side of the field the whole entire time. How much is that Todd Kelly and Rashad Goldman not being over there? And them playing, I think it's them simply playing a vanilla defense, and them not wanting to give all their cards away for the SEC in Oklahoma. It's not really them being. I don't look at them being that bad. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. I think tonight Tennessee did what they had to do to win the game. They knew what they had to do to win the game, and they didn't do that much more. And when it got close late, or when it got scary, they upped the pressure, and they turned it up, and you saw what they were able to do.
We could have scored 100 points on that team, easy, if we wanted to.
Yeah, Sean, I think what we saw from them in film study Wednesday night, Sean, I think that proved to be true defensively, don't you?
What part?
Bowling Green couldn't stop Tennessee defensively, as we saw.
Oh, no, they're terrible.
Terrible. Slow.
They're terrible.
Slow.
I don't even think we attacked their defense.
No, because to our caller's point, if we would have wanted to, and we would have thrown some quick slants, which weren't there tonight, as you were saying earlier, a lot of that misdirection stuff that we like to do with this offense, or get Josh Dobbs on the perimeter, which we really didn't do tonight. Why would you do that? Why risk him in a game where you can hand the ball off and one of your backs can get 10, 12 yards? I wouldn't risk Dobbs either.
It looked to me like a Panthers-Dolphins preseason football game tonight.
Absolutely what it looked like.
Yeah.
Yep. And we were whichever one of those teams has real trouble at the corner, that was us.
And I think when Todd Kelly's back and Bajakian's back there on the sidelines making, or was it Bajakian or whoever's back?
Willie Martinez.
Suspension making the in-game calling, not Bajakian, but Martinez.
Yeah, being the eye in the sky, right, and calling his secondary, right.
Yeah, calling his secondary, making the adjustments on the fly. I think that will be fine when it comes to the SEC play, and if people will get it and, like, concerned with the SEC play or the secondary play in the SEC, we're not going to have that trouble because we're going to have somebody coaching on the sidelines coming next week.
No question. And I appreciate your call. I'm looking forward to Oklahoma, man. That's where it's at with me right now.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, and sorry, I feel like a 30-year-old smoker. I've got a little cold going on here.
I've had the cold. I had the cold last week, and brother, it is, be careful with that cold. I know some people that weren't and ended up very sick from it. 865-200-5402. Anybody want to add anything to what that gentleman said, or anybody have a thought about this game we saw today, or any of the other teams in action that we're going to play? Sean, any thoughts before we go and continue some phone calls?
No, not really. I actually didn't think Josh Dobbs was all that sharp today. Made some nice passes, but I think he missed some. I think he had a little, screen to Josh Smith that didn't work out. And here's another thing. I can't explain the Mosley situation, but going over there, you know Oklahoma's coming to town next week. That doesn't excuse 400 yards passing or whatever it was. But I don't think people should just take this game, try to project it on, Oklahoma. It's going to be a totally different scenario, and I just take it as a 29-point win and move on.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Louisiana Lafayette. How about this? Alabama, they just had a field goal miss. Wisconsin did. Alabama, they get one more shot to do it again. Dubsy, why is he getting another shot to kick this?
I don't know.
Did we have a penalty? Because that one's dead Broadway. Back to the phones we go. 28-10. So Wisconsin's inside the line. Their fat cats are not going to like that. 1:05 to go in the quarter, and here's your obligatory, it's got to happen three times per quarter, Chris Fowler / Kirk Herbstreit stand-up. They got to show Pretty Boy Herbstreit at least eight times per telecast. And I saw those guys today, one word here, on the pregame show that they do, the game day show, they brought Fowler in there today and did everything but coronate him and canonize him as a saint. That was the strangest thing I've ever seen.
The passing of the torch, an end of an era.
What is it? Were they four horsemen? I mean, I was literally, I was waiting for Precious Paul to come out today. Where was Paul Ellering today? Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402, and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Yes. What's up, Bronner?
Hey, TR. Welcome,
hey,
man.
Keep me up a jam here, man.
We can't.
It's my freaking diamond ride dance floor.
What jam do you want to hear, TR?
Just what the doctor needed, Ted Nugent.
We generally don't do that on the fifth quarter fan reaction. We like to keep it moving here because we got people listening.
Well, I'm sorry, man. That's just me. That's just me. My dance floor, my dime. But I mean, come on, man. Come on, man.
TR, generally we don't do that.
Well, generally, make a conscious effort, man.
Give me something that will pertain to what we're about to do next week with Oklahoma. Give me something.
I just want to feed off tonight, man. I'll take my hat off to Bowling Green for giving us just what the doctor ordered.
Just what the doctor ordered?
Yes.
T.O.R., what stood out?
What
stood out to you about tonight's game?
We're going to put Oklahoma in a stranglehold, T.R.
Hey, I know it, man. We got some missing components out tonight, like Boogie Woogie, Piggy Wiggie, Howard. Yeah. And, you know, I mean,
there you go.
All right, T.R., here's a little stranglehold right here.
No, I said just what the doctor ordered, man.
I know, and I'm playing stranglehold, T.R. You know why? Because it's my dime and my dance floor.
Oh,
yes! TR, anything else for us on the way out? I want you to tell the living listener, listening all around the world, what's going to happen when Oklahoma rolls in here next week.
On my way out, I just got in, man.
Okay, we'll continue. Let's continue.
Oh, my bad. I'm just saying,
T.R.
We weren't playing at home. I mean, it was an away game, even though it was in the capital city of Nashville. I mean, it was not home game, man, but,
I don't like these games at all. I don't like Texas A&M and Arizona State not playing at College Station. I don't like Alabama playing this game down in Dallas. I don't like us playing in Nashville. We've heard from some people that were there who said that once is enough.
But the eye test, it was not, you know, we came out, man. We represented. We were out there. I mean, it was no empty seats. Much to speak of, man. I mean, it was fully represented by the Big Orange Nation, man.
There was a great crowd there.
That's right, man. I mean, that's a lot. I don't know, Link, that, you know, we were going to represent, but it was fully occupied in my perspective, man. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we had any significant injuries tonight did we?
None. Today was
I was sweating that when Barnett went down early in the game. I was sweating that, but I saw him back out there, and I said, well, good, man. Took that one off, man.
Aside from the exposure of the cornerback and the rough day for the kicker, it would have been hard to have a better opener today. I thought as openers go, today was a very good opener.
Yeah, man. What's Oklahoma and Akron doing? You have an update on that?
That game is over, and Oklahoma won that football game. And Oklahoma's quarterback, T.R., the final in that game is 41-3, and Oklahoma's freshman quarterback set an Oklahoma record for yards passing by a newcomer to begin the season. He broke Sam Bradford's record.
Wow. And Tebow got released today by your freaking Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep. And Kentucky is now up 40-33, 57 seconds left, but the Rajon Cajon have two timeouts. Who will you cheer for, T.R., at the conclusion of that one? Are you cheering for Kentucky right now?
No, I'm kind of not, man. I'm kind of not cheering for Alabama or Kentucky, man.
The Texas
but
A&M...
But I'm cheering for Auburn to beat freaking...
Petrino?
Real-West Louisville Cardinals.
I agree with that. And somebody tweeted out that he had a rough day, and I tweeted out that the night is still young for Bobby Petrino. We don't know how his day is going to turn out.
Good point.
By the way, Texas A&M is now on top of Arizona State, 38-17. All that hype, that preseason, I think Arizona State's 14-15 in the
John
country.
John Chavis.
Our Vols are going to move up in the poll after winning today. Some teams in front of us are losing, T.R.
John Chavis fixed
it. Well, yeah, man. It really does. You know, man, Tony, you've always said, man, we shouldn't have a freaking rankings to like week 4, 5, or 6, man. I mean, that's crazy, man.
But now that we have them, I want to be in the top 20. But, TR, I appreciate you, brother. I got to run. I love you, though, man.
Yeah.
Well, you're mad at me. I mean, now you can't win. You want Ted Nugent. I gave you Ted Nugent. Now you're mad at me.
He wants the Nuge. You gave him the wrong song.
Cinco, I can't win, can I?
Man, you didn't pull up his song. Yep. I mean.
Disrespected TR.
I did not disrespect him.
He made one request.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what station are you watching this Kentucky game on?
Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Kentucky is on ESPN3.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. This is Jody.
Hey, Jody. Go right ahead.
I just want to remind you guys how exciting it is going to be to watch this offense this year. What's your thoughts on what is Kamara and Hurd going to end up at? Do you think we're going to see another Gerald Riggs and Cedric Houston?
Yeah.
You think we're going to see that again?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know that the offensive line is as good as some of those offensive lines just yet, but I think the carries were pretty even. Sean split up amongst them. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like they were able to keep those guys fresh, rotate them. They brought in Kelly to close it out. I don't know that we saw Abernathy at running back any tonight. I didn't notice him in there anyways, but I think Hurd and Kamara are a pair of studs back there in the backfield.
Yeah, and I think they have a saying, the chain moving gang, and that's what I noticed. All three of the guys that I saw really hit it up there, and if you noticed that about Hurd, nobody wanted to hit him. I mean, he took a couple of pops, but really, everyone shied away from taking him head on. He's a beast.
I know Kamara had the long touchdown run, but we didn't see a ton of like 20-plus yarders, but what we did see were a bunch of just 8 and 9 yard, just, you know, hit it up in there, you know, 8 or 9 yard runs, and we haven't seen that in a while.
And that's, I don't know about, it looked like he slipped but kept his balance.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best moves I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was great.
I just didn't realize how rare this is at Tennessee. We don't see this very often. I mean, I didn't realize that with Houston and Riggs, that was the first time it's ever happened to Tennessee. I mean, this is not something that not something that comes through every year that we get two running backs like this. So I think that's going to be really fun to watch. Given that Kamara is averaging 9.6 yards a carry right now, I realize.
I like that those guys really complement each other. You know, a lot of times you get guys that are
completely different backs.
Yeah, those guys are completely different. You couldn't draw it up any better than that. And I think that's really going to serve Tennessee going forward because, you know, there's going to be certain games where what you need is not what one has. And, you know, running back at all these levels now has become a more interchangeable position than it used to be versus the days of the Marcus Duprees of the world. You know, Sean, Cobb and Webb were like that for the young kids not listening, but back in the 80s, Cobb and Webb were like that. One guy was more powerful, one guy was more slender, one guy was more of a home run hitter, but both could take it.
Well, they could. I mean, these guys are going to have to do a lot more to be compared with those.
Oh, yeah. I'm not
And
saying.
Then you had, don't forget, we've had this a number of times. We've had Houston Riggs, but we also had little man Hayden and Charlie Garner.
Yep.
And those guys were great.
Yep.
It's something else. I don't want to harp on this too much because I know it's the first game of the season and North, it's been a while since he's been back in the flow. And you know, Dodgers got a lot of people to pass to now, but did North even get a target tonight? I don't think he got one target.
He did not.
What is up with that?
Oklahoma's next week.
Okay.
only had 22 pass attempts on the evening.
Yeah,
so.
Oklahoma's next week. I mean, Tennessee barely rolled out of bed offensively tonight. That's what they did. They did.
True. I mean, they made it a point to get Jennings the ball, which, I mean, I get that too. But, you know, North, he didn't see a lot of action last year. So, I don't know. I'd like to see him get a couple targets. But
you know what I wonder? If with the Jennings thing, because they went to him early, if it's that he's a mid-state guy and they wanted to let him have
Malone too
a moment Malone was targeted maybe as much as anybody on the team tonight, really, if you think about it.
Maybe you might be right.
Yeah.
One last thing and I'll take it out of here. I just looked at Oklahoma's the box score from that game. The Mayfield kid completed passes to 9 different receivers in that game. So, I mean, we got tested tonight by Bowling Green in the air. It's going to be a test.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to flip on the film of this game and diagnose what went wrong for Tennessee and what Bowling Green did to give Tennessee problems and expand on that next week. And I mean, Jancic and those guys have got to know that. They've got to be ready for it.
They're going to salivate, but the question is it real? And was what Oklahoma did tonight real? And next week, we're going to find out an awful lot about both those teams.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it.
I'm not worried.
Yeah.
No, you know when I'll be worried? If he comes in here next week in our building, in his second game in their uniform, and duplicates what we saw today, then I'm officially worried about our defense going forward.
I'm officially worried. I mean, I think that, you know.
Right now,
people,
you're worried?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people, if, okay, they can get a little bit better and improve from the first game to the second, but if, I mean, Tennessee, I don't think, seeing what we saw today, you can reasonably expect Tennessee to hold Oklahoma to under 20, 24 points. I mean, I think you've got a plan on scoring in the 40s, at least, if you're going to win next week.
I would agree with that.
And you got to be ready to put the pedal to the metal and go for 60 minutes offensively.
Here's the thing that scares me is I was thinking about is that what we saw tonight from Jancic. I mean, he'll switch up the zone if he needs to, but that's really what he likes to do, which is kind of the scary part about it is that he likes to put pressure on guys. He likes to play the gaps. And going to other stuff isn't his favorite thing to do, which kind of freaks me out because I don't know if they're just ready. I mean, we can tell they're not going to switch stuff up very, very quick. I mean, they're going to leave guys out there, and they don't care to leave guys out there on an island.
We'll see next week. Yeah, next week is really going to tell the tale, and I appreciate the call. And I'll ask both of you guys, they're not doing that next week, are they? Are they leaving those guys on an island next week?
I don't think they're going to make drastic schematic changes from week one to week two, no.
Cinco, are they going to do that next week?
Well, they're not going to face 5 wide receivers. And I think that our ends will be a lot more effective, believe it or not, against Oklahoma than they were this. It's just an odd matchup. I think it's like facing Georgia Tech in the triple option. It's a hard thing to contain. And again, the guys were open, there's no doubt, but those are some perfect passes.
865-200-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight on your Smart Way Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction as Alabama is taking control, about to attack on 3 to a 28-10 lead, and we are with you tonight here on your fifth quarter fan reaction immediately following every Tennessee game. And just as I say that, Alabama misses a field goal. And if you'll notice tonight, if you're watching this game, by the way, Sean, that Kentucky game's on ESPNU, unless it's gone final.
It's gone final now. Kentucky has held on 40-33, a huge win for the Mildcats.
That's a contract extension.
You better believe it.
They gave up 479 yards of total offense tonight.
He's on the Kirk Ferentz plan.
Wow. Some of these guys just love to steal money. Love to steal money. Let's go back to the phones. Why didn't we see By the way, why didn't we see Dylan Bates tonight? Is he? He's hurt, isn't he? Somebody.
He was on special teams.
Yeah, I saw him out there.
What's the deal there?
I'm not sure he's a prime time player.
Well, by the way, let's make one point. I don't know if you guys saw Arizona State's uniform tonight, but I have a guy texting me who says they look like the old Arizona Wrangler, the USFL, and that is true.
Those are
awful.
Oh, Adidas had a rough day today between Louisville with the old English font and the
What in the hell was that?
The Angry Birds logo on
the side
of the helmet.
They look like bottles of old English. That's exactly what they look like.
And you had Arizona State. They had some of the coolest uniforms last year in college football with Nike. They go to Adidas, and all of a sudden they look like Liberace out there.
And Maryland was doing their best to keep up.
Miami has been fully Adidas'd.
By the way, Matt Harmon says all those touches today in yards for Tennessee, zero turnovers.
That's
right.
You
know, there was only one turnover in the game, I think, between both teams. Pretty clean football game.
What do we have, three penalties?
Three penalties.
It's pretty darn good.
Miami had Comic Sans uniforms. That's what that is.
I don't know what that font
is. It's that Comic Sans. Somebody that's a graphic designer will know what that is. That's all-time bad. Cinco, do you have any more left in your tank, or are you about... you tell me.
No, I'm good.
All right, let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. All lines currently jammed. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Russell.
Hey, welcome.
It's Don.
Hey, buddy.
Donald. Hey, man. I'll tell you what. I don't know if I've ever been as exhausted and on pins and needles on a 29-point win in my life, but only Tennessee could actually go against a really good passing team and get their defensive back coach suspended for the game. I don't know if that could possibly happen anywhere else.
I'd say it's a new one.
Yeah, they find new ones all the time. And speaking of that, before we get into a lot of the good stuff and whatever, and you may have discussed it. I didn't get in until about probably 45 minutes ago on the show. But can someone, and you may have already discussed, somebody please explain that forward motion stopped on what should have been a defensive touchdown?
You mean it?
I mean, it was a continuous play. It's not like they stood the guy up at the goal line.
I was so concerned about Barnett's injury that I didn't even look at the...
I'd dare anybody to look at that and tell me how that... You make
well, I think I can. It did not look like to me that, and I could be wrong. I don't think the quarterback moved back into the end zone by trying to get away. I thought he was slung back.
Okay, but it's not. Again, it's not like, you know, most time when they say forward motion stopped, it's like somebody runs into the line or somebody hits them out in open field and they blow the whistle. They never blew the whistle. They kept listening for it on TV. They didn't blow the whistle, and it was just like, you know, it was a continuous play. In other words, he gets hit right there at the goal line, gets slung, the ball comes flying out.
You see that a lot on pass receptions, like near where a guy will catch a ball and get driven back.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to have been a touchdown, but I... When they replayed it, I bought the call. I was okay with it.
Okay. One of the reasons, in addition to the fact their offense is very efficient, they got the ball out well. They played a really deceptive, that quarterback keeping the ball, and I think that slowed our line down. Why does it take, you go back to the Iowa game, why does it take to get an offensive holding call when they're dragging your defensive ends down and undressing them? They was one season.
Don, are you bitching about the officiating from
yes,
today?
I am.
Don, the officials were fine today.
No, they were dumb as rock. They had the guy miss the guy on
Don,
the kickoff there.
Don, do you like wrestling?
Because
you missed your calling. You'd be great at a wrestling match, screaming at officials.
Used to like it. Well, you know, holding's holding, and you know,
Don, you can call that on any play in football, on every play.
Yeah, but not when you grab a guy by an undressing in front of the referee, and he just stands there. They didn't miss any holding calls on two touchdowns that got brought back for us, did they?
I thought that all in all, it was an extremely clean game. I thought it was officiated well. They let both teams play relatively. They did have that one stupid replay late in the game. I mean, we've only been out here 7 hours, and Tennessee's only up 35 points. Let's take a look at this.
Yeah.
What in the hell is that? I mean, we've only been here 7 hours.
You know, the thing about it is, you know, we're kind of complaining here tonight.
You're complaining.
We scored 59. We missed two field goals. We have two touchdowns brought back. I mean, to give an idea of how efficient the offense was, and, you know, I just think if we have to, if our line can halfway block, you can take Dobbs and those two running backs, and you almost don't have to throw the ball. You can play Alabama style.
That team we played tonight defensively, I don't know how they could have stopped us.
Couldn't. We stopped ourselves.
No.
Somebody pointed out a while ago, North didn't get a target. But on one of the second half possessions where Dobbs got bottled up over on the sideline on third and three, and they managed to get him before he had North wide open about 10 yards down the field.
Yes, he did. Now that was pointed out. And furthermore, next week he gets him that ball. And I'll tell you something else. I believe Nathan Peterman could have scored 60 points on that team we played today.
No, he had a rough day today, I understand.
Oh, for Pittsburgh?
Oh, did he play for Pitt?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I need a Nathan Peterman update.
Yeah.
I just read this online. But the kid from Cleveland that starts for Pitt was having a horrible day.
Oh, no.
And so they put Peterman in, and the only thing I saw was where he threw a pick.
Poor skate, Nate.
Somebody said, yeah, you couldn't have seen that coming.
Poor Nate.
How he finished, I can't tell you that. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, if they got Florida on their schedule, they probably ought to, they'd be better off leaving him. But that's just my take on things. What do I know? Don, thank you. I hope you have a great night. And get off the refs, Don. They did a nice job.
Oh, no, that's
today.
My favorite thing to do.
I never would have known that. Don, thank you. 865-200-5402. You never would have known that, would you, Sink?
That's his deal. You know, I thought we were pretty fortunate on that, where that guy stepped off at the four.
I agree.
You know, from that angle, it looked like his foot was out.
I agree.
But it was from an angle, and I was surprised they turned that around.
But it didn't matter. And we also had a couple passes where they threw a couple goes. We had a couple DBs grab a couple people, and
I've never seen a head coach get a 15-yard penalty. I don't know where unless he came out and just mugged him. I don't know where that came from.
I think he snapped.
Nathan Peterman, by the way, finished the game a 45-37 win over Youngstown State for Pitt, 2 of 4 passing for 61 yards and an interception.
It's not bad.
No.
2 of 4 for 61 yards. That's respectable. Especially against Youngstown.
Is that a Jim Chaney conference win? That'll be the first ever.
It's not a conference win, but
darn it.
Well, he'll take it.
By the way,
Youngstown State going into Heinz Field, taking it to the wire.
Let me say a word here now that we're a few minutes into our program about my friends at First Mortgage Lenders. You know, I met Jim Baker here recently and his fine staff over at First Mortgage Lenders, and when I first met him, I knew I was going to love telling their story here because, like me, here's what they do every day. They under-promise and over-deliver. Now, I had somebody on the Twitter say to me, how long are you going tonight? And I said, I don't know. But I'll go till there's no more phone calls. I'll go till people don't want to talk anymore. I mean, I'll stay on here till 1 o'clock in the morning if we have to, because we try harder, and that's what they do. It's a small business here, what I'm doing. I'm fighting the big boys, and we're kind of doing it our way. And that's what they do each and every day. First Mortgage Lenders. 20-year track record, of helping folks write in the mortgage loan, helping folks find that right mortgage loan product that fits their needs. So whether it's conventional or FHA home or a no down payment option such as a USDA Rural Development Loan, First Mortgage Lenders will cover you. No games, no gimmicks. The number is 865-925-0700. 865-925-0700. Online at firstmortgagelendersinc.com. 20 years of serving you, the living volunteer, First Mortgage Lenders. And now we go back to our phones. Go ahead, Dubsy.
A couple of follow-ups on Nathan Peterman's performance. I know that